Oh, it's such a joy to be sharing this morning. There's a mixture of excitement and frustration, I think, across the body of Christ in terms of where God is leading us. And we all have our ups and downs, don't we? And things that confuse us, things that we can't make head nor tail of. Fortunately, God is not in that category. He knows exactly where he's leading us and where he's taking us. And so I want to start with a couple of scriptures which point forward to events we've not yet encountered. And then I want to share something that I hope will be helpful to us to enable us to be able to go more freely with him where he's tracking. Because sometimes, not always, but sometimes the points of resistance that we have against where God is going is because we're not sure where he's taking us. And we kind of instinctively balk a little bit. All right, so here's the first one. Romans 8:19, creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Yeah. That's a future event. The Passion Translation puts it this way. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. There's a generation coming, and possibly some in the earth right now, that will walk in the fullness of their inheritance. That's where we're tracking. And then there's another scripture which talks about, Paul is referring to the ministry or the function of the fivefold giftings. And he says this, they are for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Wow, that's a bit of a brain spinner. And of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Can you envisage everybody thinking exactly the same? I can't. And I don't know that the unity of the faith means that we're all in agreement. But there's things that God is at work to bring into the earthly realm, a body of people who so look like Jesus, you can hardly tell the difference. Okay? So the only problem is that we have a perspective challenge here. The body of Christ as it is now, the revealing of the sons and daughters of God, the unity of the faith, the true knowledge of the Son of God, how the heck are we going to get there? All right? Now, while this may be confusing to us, it's not confusing to God. All right? So he knows where we're tracking. He knows what things he's bringing us into. And God says in his word, I don't really do anything, certainly anything major, without first speaking through my prophets. Well, do you know the prophets have been speaking? They have. I want to read you some of the prophetic words that have come within this last year. In January last year, my wife Lynn put a prophetic word up on the New Zealand Prophetic Network entitled A Decade of Restructuring. And this is some of what was in that. The Lord has also been working on challenging wrong ideas and theologies that we have allowed to become established in our lives. He is saying to us, don't just rely on other people's interpretations or understanding of things. Search out the truth for yourself. That was January last year. February last year, in the Behold Conference, Lindley Allen brought this prophetic word. I want to read a part of it to you. We're in a metamorphosis process where we're going from one shape to another. And I really feel that the reformation of the church is going to take about 10 years to move the ship. It's not going to be an overnight thing. We're not going to come out of COVID and go, oh, we're a new shape. The work of perseverance that the Holy Spirit is doing in us is reshaping our minds. It is reforming our minds. It is reforming our understanding. And as we go through the decade, we're going to emerge as a new shape for the great harvest. That's just how I see it. That's where I feel that the Lord is leading us. And I want to say it like that because I really don't want us to be disillusioned when the mandates lift and life returns to normal. I'm here to declare today to have a 10-year or decade mindset and perspective on what God is doing. And I've got some prophetic friends and seers and dreamers that have confirmed with me they also believe it's going to be a 10-year reformation. Because of the shape of the church to deconstruct our mindsets on who we are and to build us into the bride. God is wanting a bride made ready, and the bride is going to rise, but there's things that just don't add up yet. So there's a transformation happening of our minds and our hearts and the way that we perceive ourselves mostly and the way we perceive the kingdom. And I'm bluntly aware that I need a massive transformation of my understanding. And I believe I've come a long way, but I'm not seeing the results that I expect to see. So something has to transform. Something has to change. And God never changes. So that looks like the arrow is pointing at me. So what is it in our minds? What is it in our understanding? What is it in our theology? What is it in the essence of what we fundamentally believe that needs to shift? Well, that's a great question. It can be a scary question. That is a challenge that I'm just going to put out there. In the same month last year, Melissa Holmes, a prophetic person from House of Breakthrough in Oamaru, released this. I believe the Lord is saying that this year will be marked by paradigm shifts in the church concerning the nation and the church. These paradigm shifts will shock many people as it's a drastic change in our belief system, one which will challenge the way we operate as the church. Put simply, it is a complete mindset adjustment. The Lord is saying, I'm going to allow my people to experience major paradigm shifts that will propel them into what I have prepared for them to become in this era. This will stop them regurgitating the old thing and step into uncharted territory of something fresh and new. The Lord is leading us further into a time of divine exposure orchestrated by Him. He will use circumstances, revelation, and insight to uncover mindsets, ingrained untruths, and wrong ideas. What? You mean we don't have a monopoly on truth? In that same month, Nina James says, I heard the Holy Spirit say, we have entered a season of time where I'm deconstructing and dismantling that which has stunted the growth and maturity of my people. To many, this will feel unsettling, disconcerting, uncomfortable, and unfamiliar. But it is because I love you that I'm doing this. My desire is to see you fly with confidence in all I have called you to be and find your identity and security in me and only me. Come on, God's speaking. God is speaking. In July last year, Lynn released another prophetic word entitled God is Dealing with Our Illusions. In the same month, Nathan Shaw from Dunedin released a prophetic word entitled Lies, Ties, and False Claims. Kind of provocative, isn't it? Yeah. But you know what? If you want to check out some of what some of the prophets have been saying, then I encourage you to go to www.nzpropheticnetwork.com, click on Prophetic Words, Words for New Zealand, and click on 22. Read through some of what God was saying to us as a nation last year, and then have a look at the ones which have come for this year. Really, it's up there for our benefit. But anyway, let's return to our conundrum. How? I was sitting on a chair on our deck last year sometime, I can't remember exactly when, and I was pondering, how come we have one source of truth, the scriptures, one source of revelation, and yet we have so many perspectives, theologies, denominations? What the heck? How do we get all that from one source of revelation? And I was pondering it. and asking the Holy Spirit about it. Now, he doesn't speak to me audibly. It'd be lovely if he did, but he didn't on this occasion. But just dropped this into my heart. And he says, oh, it's easy, Rob. And I felt like saying easy for you. He says, it's easy, Rob. It's filters. And I says, what? And then he dropped this fascinating little analogy into my heart. We've got two people. We'll call them Steve and Bob. And Steve's talking to Bob. The only thing that he doesn't realize is that between him and Bob is some red cellophane. And he looks at Bob and says, Bob, your skin's gone all red. So is Steve lying or is he telling the truth? Well, he's not lying because to lie is an intent to deceive. But he's not telling the truth because Bob's skin isn't red. So what's happening? Steve is accurately describing what he's seeing looking through the filter he's looking through. Because cellophane is a filter. It blocks the red cellophane blocks every frequency of light or color except the red. Green, sorry, not gone. Purple, no, red, yep, come on through. And so Steve is describing what he's seeing looking through his filter. But then there's Jim. And there's green cellophane between him and Bob. And Jim says to Steve, red, get a life, it's green. And Steve says, it is not. Bob says, it is too. Jim says, it is too. Steve, it is not. Jim, it is. And then Steve feels a really strong leading of the Holy Spirit to start a church of the Redskins. Because that is what has happened historically. See, what is a filter? A filter is something that is designed to block certain things and allow other things to go through. All right? We are living in a filtered existence. And that is the title of this message, which I didn't give to Ruth beforehand because it wouldn't have made sense until now. We are living in a filtered existence. So we're very familiar with natural filters in our world. We may not think of them as such, but that we have filters that block things that are harmful, such as sunscreen, sunglasses, tinted windows, water filter, your oil filter. They're all designed to catch things that are not good and only let what is good through. We have filters that filter out things that are not required, like your radio receiver, TV tuner, sound system EQ, camera filter, and search filter. See, if you want to listen to News Talk ZB, then you don't want to be hearing the other stations as well. All right? The other stations are fine, you don't want to listen to them right now. So you want something that's only going to let what you need through. The same with your TV tuner. If you press the button for channel 3, you don't want to be looking at Prime. If you do, what are you dealing with? You are dealing with a faulty filter. A faulty filter allows through what it should be blocking and blocks what it should be allowing. All right? And we live in a filtered existence. We also have filters which filter out things that are not accurate, like a spell checker and a grammar checker. You're very familiar with these things, but that's how they work. They're fine when they're working properly. They're fine when they're doing what they were designed to do. So it's like that in the natural, in our everyday existence. But what about the spiritual realm? See what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly. For we know in part. And we prophesy in part. Now, unfortunately, many of us in the body of Christ have lost sight of this truth. Because the reality is this, on your best day, you are still looking at a partial picture. Doesn't matter how enlightened you are or feel, you are looking at a partial picture. The truth is, the real picture lies on the other side of the filters you are looking through. We're going to come across this several times this morning because it's such an important truth to grab a hold of. The real picture lies on the other side of the filters that we're looking through. So, what are some of the filters that you and I encounter that are not necessarily man-made or not physical? Well, here's one. What my family taught me is a filter. See, when I was growing up, and I grew up in a Christian home, and I'm very grateful for the heritage that I've received as that, and learnt some wonderful, wonderful things. But I also learnt that cards were of the devil, playing cards. You should not play cards because people gamble with cards. And if you use the same reasoning, you shouldn't play snakes and ladders either because these soldiers at the cross gambled with dice. I also learned that TV, when it first came out, was not good. Some bad programs on TV. And dance was not good either. People, it's very sensuous, dance. And then between the ages of probably when I was 10 and 19, apparently God changed his mind about TV. Because my parents bought their first colour television. And they loved it. You see, what you are seeing is a result of what your filter is letting you see. But there's way more on the other side of your filter than you are seeing currently. Another filter, what my church taught me. Because my church taught me that we were the only ones really with the truth. And it was very debatable as to whether Baptists were going to end up in heaven. I was taught that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for today. Neither is healing and miracles. No. They were for the emerging church. You see, because the Bible tells us that. This is what I was taught. See, because there's a scripture which says, when that which is perfect is come, then the need for these things will be done away with. And of course, that which is perfect, it refers to the completion of the New Testament canon. So when the New Testament was complete, no need for these things at all. See? So that was my partial picture. But I had a problem. I was seeing people who believed different things, and the quality of their life had a joy about it that mine didn't. Oh, help. And when I looked at Scripture, you could actually prove the argument both sides from Scripture. Scripture's very handy. You can make it back up all sorts of things. And then in 1973, traveling through New Zealand on a Youth for Christ Certain Sounds team, I was away from my cultural bubble. And I said, God, I don't know what's what. I just want whatever you've got for me. And he baptized me in the Holy Spirit. Wow. So guess what? God adjusted one of my filters. Here's another thing that, now my church didn't tell me this in that it wasn't preached from the pulpit, but I imbibed it. That God would probably make me marry someone ugly who I hated and send me off as a missionary to China or some other horrible place. The underlying thought was this: if it's hard and horrible, it's probably God. And what might come as a great surprise to you is that I didn't really want to get very close to that God. Would you? Not at all. And the picture was very real. But I want to appeal to you, please, because something feels very real, do not confuse that with it being accurate. You are at perfect liberty to examine the filter that is causing you to see what you're seeing right at this point in time. Wounds that I've sustained on my journey. If I've come through a situation where it may be in a relationship or whatever, whether it be my teacher or a partner or whatever, but I experienced performance-based acceptance, then that is going to affect, that is going to create a filter through which I expect that to be the case with every relationship that I have, especially the one with God. And it is totally understandable. If you've had a situation where a person who was close to you, whether it be a father or a marriage partner or whatever, left and you separated for whatever reason, and instinctively inside is the knowledge it doesn't pay to invest in relationships because they're going to leave anyway. Very real. Man, if you haven't heard the series that Wes did last year on internal roadblocks, please have a listen. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. It's entitled Free to Proceed. It's in the series up on the sermons on the website. Absolutely brilliant. My wounds that I've sustained will cause create a filter through which I will interpret a lot of what I see. There's historical ignorance. Ignorance of the past. There's something innate about or an instinctive about what we currently believe in our Western evangelical church is that what we believe, people have always believed that. And without trying to unsettle you too much, that's not necessarily true. See, when I was younger, there was a book around called The Late Great Planet Earth and others, and people were discouraged from going to university because Jesus could be coming back next Wednesday. And there's no point in investing all that energy when we're about to depart the planet. And that was very real. It just wasn't accurate. When people are saying, well, it's Hitler as the Antichrist. No, it's the Pope. It's so-and-so. I was completely unaware for years of what actually happened in the year AD 70. When in Matthew 24, Jesus is being asked by the disciples, what are the signs of the end of the age? Now, you would think it's rather unusual for Jesus to reply to his disciples an answer which is only relevant in 2025. He answered to them that which was very relevant to them and what they were facing through. And when I began to discover a lot of the things that actually happened in AD 70, which was the sacking of Jerusalem, there's a lot of things that happened then that some people have put into the future and that we're still looking for them to happen. Now, I don't know which is right, but my thinking is this. If you're not aware of what has already happened, and you immediately just are going to plop something into the future, you could be looking at a very compelling picture, which may be inaccurate. Big picture ignorance. Ignorance of what lies ahead. Now, see, for many of us, we're very familiar with the fact that, okay, my history, if you like, as a born-again Christian, comes from the cross, really, to the year 2023. And that's my frame of reference. That's the world that I live in. And then, of course, I'm going to be aware of some stage of my death. And that's it. I mean, but don't we know that from a biblical perspective, there's actually more than what we're seeing there? Yeah. There is judgment and eternal rewards. There is the millennial reign coming up. There is the restoration of all things. Oh, I'd like to know what that looks like. Yeah. And then there's the great white throne. We can't fit everything on there, of course. And then there's reigning. Now, guess what happened to me over a period of time? Some of the stuff I knew theologically. I'd had teaching about it. But what started to happen with everyday life was that after a period of time, that just started to fade. And that became my horizon. That became my perspective. Without consciously doing anything, really. See, the stuff that you probably know that you're not necessarily living in the light of. That was certainly the case for me. And so my whole sphere of thinking centered around the fact that I've got, like, I'll be 70 this year, so I've got maybe, I don't know, another 10, 15, 20 years, who knows? So what started to creep into my mind was this retirement mentality. Well, I mean, you're getting on and you've done your bit, you know, you had a pretty good innings, so just settle down. Just pass the baton on to the younger ones, let them go for it. It's their turn. And then came along a person that most of us are familiar with, Mike Connell. Yeah. And he began to speak about things that I knew. But guess what? All of a sudden, I started to get excited again. Because how many of you feel like you're getting on a bit? You know, you. Oh, be honest. Come on. That's right. Well, I want to tell you, you've got millions of years to go. When your perspective enlarges, there's no retirement mentality. Everything you do is significant. You're going to be ruling with him, hopefully. You're going to be reigning over whom? I have no idea. A lot of that stuff, I have no idea really what it looks like. But you see, that is a filter. See, most, honestly, most Christians in the evangelical church, heaven is a big yawn. Some eternal prayer meeting. Or some church service that will flipping never stop. Or maybe it's sitting on a cloud, plucking a harp and sipping orange juice. That couldn't be further from the truth. What God has planned for you is so exciting that when Paul got a glimpse of it, he had to have a thorn in the flesh to keep him down. I want to tell you this, God is not boring. Some of his kids are, but he's not. He's the most vibrantly alive being in the universe. And what he's planned for you and for the whole cosmos is so exciting. If you get a whiff of it, you won't be able to wipe the grin off your face. That's a filter. Here's another one. My focus of attention. See, what you and I are focusing on, we become fixed on. Other things maybe are in our peripheral vision. But if you have a work colleague or a marriage partner or someone, and they do some things that you do not like, and that's what you focus on, do you realize that focus becomes a filter and all the good that's in them, all the wonderful things that Jesus gets so excited about, your filter blocks that and you only see the negative. And that's all you see about that person. Do you realize that person could be you? How you see you. Not just the focus of my attention, but slander and gossip. If someone comes up to me and says, you know, Murray Groves, do you really want to know what he's really like? And I open my heart and my ears and I listen. That becomes a filter. And it completely changes how I see Murray. and I will interact with him on the basis of what I'm currently seeing. And it's very real. That's just not accurate. Do you know what I mean? So be careful what you listen to, because that will filter out and that will create your partial picture. But listen, my humanity and your humanity is a filter. Let me ask you a question. How close could you get a piece of paper to the sun? So close, just burn up. Why? Because it's not made of the right stuff. Do you realize that our human body in its current form is not made of the right stuff to handle the unshielded glory and presence of God? Your humanity is a filter. And the real picture lies on the other side of the filter that you and I are looking through. What he has for us coming up is mind-boggling. So excited that when Jesus sings over you and he gets so excited, he dances and spins around with joy. The Greek word for that is, or the Hebrew word rather, is under violent emotion. Come on. But our humanity, see what our brains can currently handle. I think it's about, we're operating about 1% of our brain power through the fall, something like that. Our humanity means we can't handle yet in this present form everything that God has for us. And so in one sense, we can say, well, that's a good filter to have in place. Yes, but I want to say, listen, there is more. There is more, there is more. So, I'm living unwisely when I insist that my perspective or what I'm seeing right now is the complete picture. Because if I insist on that, I'm coming right in the face of what Paul says, and that we look through a glass darkly. But we, and for some reasons, Christians are addicted to being right. About God. About the infinite being whom we're only using 1% of our brain power, and we say, my partial picture is right. So historically what happens is we get into the right-wrong scenario. If you disagree from me, I'm right, you're wrong. Yeah. Why? Because I need to be right. And I'm prepared to fracture relationship to maintain my rightness, thank you very much, or I will go and start my own church, or whatever crazy thing it may be. It may be. So, here, I think, are some helpful questions to ask. In the light of where God is taking us, what information or revelation that I need has not reached me yet? That's a great question to ask. It's not an easy one to answer, because the reality is I don't know what hasn't reached me yet. I can't see it. But there's one who does. The Holy Spirit is your personal coach. That's our safety. That is our security. What information or revelation that I need has not reached me yet? Because I want it. If there's something that I'm not seeing now that I should be seeing, or that God wants me to see in my journey, I want it. I don't know about you. Do you? Am I willing to have my filters identified and adjusted? That's a good question to ask. And here's another one. Am I open to hearing a perspective that's quite different from the one I currently have? Hmm. See, this is what we really should be saying to each other. From where I'm standing, this is what I see. From where you're standing, what do you see? Because the chances are you won't be seeing exactly the same thing. Because the truth is, we're both seeing a partial picture. You haven't got the full info yet. And if your viewpoint, what you currently are seeing, looking through the filters you're looking through, is quite different from mine, I've got several responses available to me. And historically, in the body of Christ, we have not done well in processing difference of perspective. And God says it's time to change. From where the body of Christ is now, and him at least in the last year, talking about major... See, a paradigm shift is not... I'm moving from white bread to Molenberg. That is not a paradigm shift. A paradigm shift is a huge change in the way we see things. And God says, this is where we're tracking. If it does it make you uncomfortable to think that possibly some of what you are believing and have believed maybe since a child is not correct or is not the full picture? Well, it may be unsettling, but understand this, God knows. See, any of us can only respond or make decisions on the basis of the light we have at any given point in time. He understands that. See, every decision that you have made, I guarantee if I was to sit down and listen to your journey and to let you tell me what you were seeing, it would be totally understandable, given the filters that you're... It doesn't make the picture that you're looking at the full picture. It just makes it understandable. When it comes to sharing our faith with those who don't know Jesus yet, it's really, really important that we understand the reason they believe what they believe is totally understandable, given the journey they've traveled, given the partial picture that they're looking at, and given the filters they're looking through. It's understandable. Don't look down on them and say, you heathen. Good night. See, do we have a monopoly on truth? Well, I was taught we did, my particular denomination, but of course that turned out to be incorrect. But listen, Pentecostals do not have a monopoly on truth. If you were to sit down with a person of the Anglican persuasion and listen, not trying to make up your reply as quickly while you're listening, but listen to what they have discovered about God, you would learn some stuff. If you were to sit down with a person from the Catholic Church and listen, you would learn. We can learn some stuff, guys. Our spiritual pride often prevents us, but we can listen to stuff because none of us are looking at the full picture. Let me ask you another question. Do you think born-again Christians have a monopoly on truth? I'm not so sure about that one. Yeah. Do you think God gives revelation to non-Christians? Yeah. Of course he does. We're all made in his image. You don't think God speaks to non-Christians? Or how did he speak to you before you became one? Come on, we can learn from non-Christians. That doesn't mean to say that everything they're seeing in their picture is the full picture. None of us have got the full picture yet. All right, so here's God's invitation as we wind this up. It's a brilliant invitation, by the way. It's from Jeremiah 33:3. It's a verse you've heard before, but I want to take it in bite size. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So we're going to go one bite here. First thing, call. You take the initiative, God is saying. And you know what that word means? It means get in my face. It means accost me. Lay hold of me. Enough of this politeness and enough of this que sera, sera. If God wants to show me something, if God wants to adjust my filter, well, he can do it. Come on, God responds to hunger. He responds to hunger. We've got to get you, especially in Pentecostal evangelical circles, we've got to get used to mystery. Wes has talked about this. You park something in the realm of mystery. You're not going to understand everything. There is, and that is okay. But there are things that he wants to reveal to us. So the first word, call. Take the initiative and call to me. Not to the internet. Not to your favorite TV preacher. Call to me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is your personal coach. I was out for a bike ride early yesterday morning with Craig Wilson, and we were talking about some of this stuff. You know, the pressure we can come under to walk somebody else's journey. And you know where it speaks prophetically in the New Testament, I think it is, about knowledge abounding. And, you know, shoot, we got it everywhere. There is so many voices that you could listen to. It's a wonder we just don't crawl under a rock and hide. You know, there is so much that we could be listening to. But listen, don't get alarmed by that. Don't get paranoid about that. Take up the invitation. Call to me. The Holy Spirit knows what he, because he's in charge of your training program. And it's a handcrafted training program. So if Deborah is talking to me and she said, oh, Rob, the Lord's been showing me this and it's amazing. I've never seen this before. And I think, great. I'm listening to her share, accurately describe what she's seeing looking through the filters she's looking through. That does not mean I immediately must go chasing after what she's researching. I want to learn by it. I want to be encouraged by it. But I check in with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, is this something that you want me to investigate? If it is, I'll feel the nudges. So will you. You'll feel God bringing something across your pathway from different sources to say, check it out. Check it out. There's more to discover. All right? So call to me, and here's the promise. I will answer you. I will answer you. You're going to hear from God because you're his kid. You have the ability to hear from him, and I will answer you is what he's saying. Not only that, but I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Wow. So why have I left a gap between those lines? Because the word great means large in magnitude and extent, important things. When God starts talking about paradigm shift, he's not talking about little things. It'll involve little things. But God, and I have no idea when I say God is saying paradigm shift. So I understand he said that prophetically. I have no idea what that means. For me, for you, I've got an inkling into some of the things that it could involve, but I don't know. That hasn't passed through my filter yet. But what he's saying is, I want to show you things which are huge in their scope. When you get this, it will change a lot for you. It will extend the sphere of your influence. And mighty means things which have been inaccessible by height or fortification. They've been out of reach. We've been looking for things, we're trying to understand, but somehow we just can't get a handle on it. And God says, come on, I'm training you. So you need to take some initiative. You begin to get in my face about this. Because I'm waiting. I'm waiting to reveal. I'm waiting to peel back the things that you're not seeing yet. Because we're going somewhere. We've got a mission to achieve. We are part of an adventure that will never end. It will go on forever and ever. Let me come back now to something that I mentioned earlier on the whole area of filters. When does a filter become faulty? When it blocks what it should be allowing and it allows what it should be blocking. When it's not functioning how it's designed to, it's faulty. Now, I'm not a great sight reader. I play mainly by ear. I have great admiration for people who can sight read very well. But I understand that they have notations in scored music which give you an indication as to how a piece should be played. I'm going to ask Catherine, who is a very good sight reader, what FF means in music.
Very loud.
Very loud. Play it very loud. It is quite likely that you are going to hear an FF from God. Faulty filter. Faulty filter. There's things that are blocking what you should be receiving and allowing through what should be blocked. FF, very loud. He wants to get our attention. See, when we come back to our final slide here, one we've seen before, the real picture lies on the other side of the filters you're looking through. If your picture of God is someone who is requiring you to do this, or this was another thing that my church taught me, which I didn't mention earlier, that if you wanted to be in God's books, good books that is, you needed to read more, pray more, fast more, give more, evangelize more, and stuff like that. What was that? That is performance-based acceptance taught from the pulpit. See, are you living for acceptance or living from acceptance? See, one of the devil's master strategies is to so set in place a filter that anything that smacks of what God has already achieved and bought for you on the cross gets filtered out, and what is allowed through is you've got to give more, fast more, pray more, do-do-do-do. And that sets you on a treadmill, and the God that you are believing is one who says, you better shape up or ship out. Honestly, across the body of Christ is this pervasive blanket, this feeling of somehow, I still don't measure up. That is a satanic strategy. You are already profoundly accepted, profoundly loved, so much so you are celebrated by heaven. The problem is the picture you have of yourself is not the one that Jesus sees. Because the filter is telling you, you haven't done enough. You need to shape up. Whereas if you realize God's not measuring your performance, he is celebrating you. You're his kid. So it might be time to book in for a filter change. God's very good at it. He's been doing it for a number of years now. Because the things that, if your filter is operating truly and properly, you may hear some teaching or read a book or someone says something to you and it says, oh, you got to do more, you know, then you'll be accepted. Shh, not having that. God loves you profoundly. You're accepted. You're celebrated. Oh, yes, we'll have that. Thank you. That filter is working properly. So whereabouts are you on your journey? And I want to take a couple of moments now just to address those of us who on our journey have not yet discovered or come into a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, I totally understand that is a journey. It's been a journey for every one of us. But depending on what your partial picture is of God, if it's a God who's trying to steal all your fun and whack you the moment you make a mistake, yeah, I think I'd keep clear of a God like that too. And that picture may be very real to you, but as I said earlier, please don't confuse something being real to you with it necessarily being accurate. That's not the real Jesus. But the call is where God says, come on, call to me. I will answer you, and I'll show you really mind-blowing, life-changing things that they've been out of reach so far. But today's a brilliant opportunity for you to pick up on that invitation and say, okay, I have been resisting God, and perhaps that's because I haven't really understood what he's really like. And the invitation of God is, I want to make myself clear to you. Now, that may not be in an instant. That's going likely to be a progressive revelation. But you see, he's so in love with you. He's so excited about you and the journey that you've taken. And as I was praying last night and this morning, I really got a sense there's at least one person here or online, if you're watching, that when it comes to the real picture of yourself, thank you, Catherine, of the real picture, what you are looking at in terms of how you see yourself, it's not very encouraging. Often because of words that have been spoken to you, people's responses to you, how you see yourself is actually not that wonderful. And God wants to say to you this morning, I understand that's very real to you. It's just not accurate. The real picture, the real you, who you really are, your incredible potential, the wonder of how God has put you together, lies on the other side of the filter you're looking through. God wants to smash that filter. He wants to replace it. Church, can we stand together this morning? And if this is you this morning, in the terms of, I want to meet the real Jesus. I want to meet the real God. I want to find out what I'm really like, what the real picture is. I want to enter into a relationship with a God who doesn't just tolerate me, but celebrates me. I want to be forgiven for the crud that's in my life. Yeah, we've all blown it big time. But I want to step into a relationship where I get to journey forever with the God who created me. If that's you, I really invite you just to come from where you are, just down the front. We'd love to pray for you, introduce you to Him. There'll be folk to just share some things that will really help you in the initial stage of journey. And I won't prolong this long, but it's really important. This is the single most life-changing decision you or I could ever make. And I want to just open this. If that is you, if you haven't come to know Jesus, now is an ideal opportunity. Yeah, it's kind of scary walking out in front of people. But hey, this is family. This is family. This is the real McCoy, the real thing. Anyone, this section over here. As I said, I won't prolong it, but I just want to make that opportunity. If you'd love to take God up on that, best thing you could ever do. Awesome. Okay. So what I want to do now is just to provide an opportunity for us collectively. And I just want to lead you in a prayer if you feel this is relevant for you. Because I think corporately it is very appropriate for us to respond to that Jeremiah 33:3, where God issues the invitation, call to me. That requires a response. It requires some initiation. Now, please only pray this out loud if you're still not quite sure about this. There's absolutely no problem in you just listening to the rest of us pray. But I'm believing that something significant will be sealed in your heart and in mine as we make this decree. I have no idea what God's going to show you and when or how. That's not my business. But understand this, if He says we're in for some change, we need to understand it's okay, and this is how some of that change is going to take place. We give God permission to adjust or replace the filters. And the acknowledgement, not one of us in this auditorium is looking at a full picture. That's so flippin' exciting. Because there are things about salvation we don't yet see. There's things about kingdom we don't yet see. There's things about family we don't yet see. There's things about being seated with Him in heavenly places we do not yet see. There's things about living from heaven to earth that we do not yet see. God is preparing us. He's tracking with us. And because He's our personal coach, we can trust Him to show us when and how and what He chooses. So if you feel this is appropriate for you, I invite you to pray after me. We'll go phrase by phrase. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You that You created me, that You created this whole world, and that it's tracking in line with Your eternal purposes. There are many things I don't understand. There are many things I don't see from my perspective. But thank You that You do. You are the only one who sees with no filters. So today, Lord, and today, Holy Spirit, I thank You that You are my personal coach. And today, I give you permission to reveal and identify any filters which are not functioning how you intend them to function. I give you permission to challenge things that I've believed and replace them with things which are far greater. Lord, I acknowledge before you today that I do not have the full picture, but I'm hungry for more. And so, Jesus, in advance, I welcome whatever changes you want to bring into my life so that I might become a son or a daughter who is more and more like Jesus. Thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ruth.